send you a few things ahead of my file.
Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Byte Show. And we are very blessed right now to have Douglas Riggs with us. And Douglas Riggs is a man of God. And if you will recall, our last audio file was on the 19th of September with Douglas. It was the new creation versus the law and legalism. And in talking with Douglas just here a few minutes ago, I asked him to address the suffering that is going on in North Korea at the hands of this person who the world recognizes as the leader of North Korea. And there are several organizations out there that are trying desperately to help the people of North Korea. And as some of you may know, there has been a horrific, and I mean horrific, devaluation of their currency. I don't know if people out there realize that the hunger and the poverty in that country, it is hard to imagine the level of it that continues and that already exists even before this devaluation. And what concerns me is the utter despair that these people are being pushed into with no hope unless the world comes together in prayer for these people. Douglas, what can you explain to people the level of suffering that goes on there?
Yes, just a quick correction. You mentioned September, I think the 19th. I believe that was the November the 19th was our last time together.
Yes.
But yes, it's a very important thing for people to be aware that for several years in a row, the Open Doors has designated in terms of severity of persecution that North Korea has topped the list as one of the most repressive or oppressive regimes in the world.
Right.
And of course, they're both Open Doors and Voice of the Martyrs. They have, if you go to their website, they usually have a number of postings that are updating people regarding the status of the people in North Korea. It is a gulag. It is,
yes.
The entire concentration camp system there in North Korea is very, very oppressive to its own people. But if you're a Christian, your lifespan, I understand, is usually no longer than about 10 months.
Yeah.
Because you are singled out and the horrific abuse. They actually carry on brutal satanic rituals against their own people or those that are, of course, in the concentration camp. So it couldn't be anything worse.
Well, it's like all of North Korea is a concentration camp.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And then if not, you're a part of the military. And the military, you're under Kim Il-jong, or Kim Jong-il, I should say. And, some of the background that has come to me regarding this country, when North Korea, I don't exactly know when Kim Il-sung, that's Kim Jong-il's father, when he came to power, but it was in the early 50s.
Yes.
And I'm working with ritual abuse survivors, and they have reported being taken there by their father, King George VI, and others to power up that regime. Horrific rituals occurred in Korea. There were rituals to divide North and South Korea along the 38th parallel there in the Yalu River. There are a number of drownings, ritual drownings that occurred just to bring death over the whole people.
Yeah.
But if you go back in the history, in the missionary period, there was a time when Pyongyang was considered the Jerusalem of Asia. But some of the missionaries during that time in the latter part of the 1800s and going in the 1900s, there was a compromise. The Japanese demanded, obedience to their god and show that by visiting a Shinto shrine. And so some of the missionaries, this compromise, said it's just a cultural issue, and that idolatrous act really set the stage for the idol worship of Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il. So it was the failure of certain missionaries to be a godly example to those people who were very impressionate. I mean, they just followed the Western missionaries. And so when that began to take place, there began to be a migration to the South because of this compromise. And then eventually the idolatrous leadership of Kim Il-sung came to power.
Well, he literally believes that he is a direct descendant of the gods.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of these tyrants throughout history believe that. Alexander the Great, and some of these others, in the pharaohs, they all believe that.
Yeah.
So that's not uncommon. It's just that megalomaniac, narcissistic, demonized personality that goes with the tyrants of history.
Yeah.
But it is very unfortunate. I think about the verse, I say unfortunate, it's really a tragedy. That Christians are not really, in sync with the suffering church. I think more and more there are, but for a long time, I mean, Christians here in America just live just kind of an isolation, name it and claim it, prosperity kind of gospel.
Yeah.
You go preach that in North Korea and see how long you'll last. Go preach the prosperity gospel there, and you'll be brought into reality.
Yes.
But in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 3, it says, "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body."
Yeah.
And when I say in the body, I don't know that he's referring necessarily to the body of Christ, but that we need to empathize with those who are in such physical straits that we are to remember them, and of course in prayers and whatever resources we can do to help these people. There are a number of advocacy groups. There's Crossing Borders North Korea, which I sent you the email on that. Voice of the Martyrs, Open Doors, they have active programs to do all that they can to help the population there. It's very dangerous and it's very clandestine.
Yeah.
We support a program with Voice of the Martyrs where they bring in Bibles. Actually, they don't bring in Bibles. They have that which is printing Bibles there. It's secret. It's hidden. No one knows anything about it. And so we do support that. And I think that just the prayer that the Zhuxi, that religion of self-reliance, which is just the very spirit of Antichrist, it would just be judged and exposed, and that this tyrant would be brought down, and at the same time that the people there would, that God would open their eyes to see who this man is, that he's not a god, and that worshiping him is idolatry.
Yeah.
And for that nation to be brought to repentance where they have been worshiping this man, because the judgment that is on a people for worshiping a man should be apparent.
Well, but here's the catch-22. If they don't worship him, whether it be heartfelt or just strictly, for show, they're all killed.
Oh, I know it. That's the tyranny of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but there needs to be a liberation, and there's a movement. There's a worldwide demonstration that is going on the 8th, 9th, and the 10th. They call Freedom for North Korea, I believe it's called. But it is worldwide. It is highly organized.
How do people get in touch with that rally?
Well, let's see. I don't know if I could find that right now. I tried to send out an email on this in the past, and for some reason, this particular email, every time I tried to send it out, it would not go. it would come up as spam. Only that. I mean, it's the only one that does it. And no matter how I tried to, send this, it always would come back spam. And I can't remember the actual name of the website. I wish I could, because here it is right here.
Okay.
It's www, N like North K freedom.org.
Okay, let's do that real slow. N
K
N like Nancy K.
Yes.
Okay.
Then freedom.
Freedom.
.org. O-R-G. And that is a website that's involved right now with the world, the demonstrations that are being organized around the world.
Yes.
Right now, so that's one website. There are others, but this is very good. This is
okay.
A good one. So
okay.
There's a lot of resources there, and there's a link there where you can get involved. And of course, there's Open Doors and Voice of the Martyrs. All these are actively involved with various mission activities to not only support the people there, but like Voice of the Martyrs, they send up these balloons.
Yeah.
And these balloons are filled with gospel tracts. And they go over that area, and they, of course, land in North Korea.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of prayer going on. There has been for a number of years. I met the spokesman or the field representative for the mission in North Korea, Voice of the Martyrs. He goes by the name of Peter Kim.
Okay.
I think his name is. That's not his real name. His real name is hidden because of the work. But I called him at his office in Los Angeles, and I said, I am willing to go into China if necessary to support the churches that are there on the northeastern China who are putting themselves in danger.
Right.
When those North Koreans escape and come over to China, there are about 300,000 to 400,000 that are in northeastern China. And often when they are captured, they are severely punished and sent back by the Chinese officials.
Yeah, people have no clue. I mean, they talk about, how terrible it is and to waterboard, this thing they've been carrying on in the U.S. news. They haven't got a clue about torture.
No.
In this country, the people of the United States, just the regular people, they haven't got a clue about torture, what that really is in North Korea. Oh, my
God. In fact, everything that is going on in North Korea right now is on the scale of what was taking place in Nazi Germany at Auschwitz and Buchenwald and Dachau and places like that. It's on that scale. It is that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just remember looking at some of these films of as our allies were coming into these various camps, they were so shocked they couldn't even believe what they were seeing.
Yeah.
These starved, emaciated people that were in these prison camps in Germany. It's no less severe in North Korea right now, Georgia.
Right. I know.
It is the most oppressive regime in the world.
And, Douglas, a couple of years ago, I remember reading a news article that the poverty there in North Korea is so horrible that there are people that have actually been caught digging up the dead for food.
Yeah. Yeah, it is so horrible. My wife read a recent account about a building that they found there that they put children in. They just put children in. They don't know what to do with them.
Yeah.
These are the officials, and they just leave them there, and they just starve.
Yeah.
They just lock them up in buildings and with children, and it is the most horrific thing.
The cruelty.
And so to be on our face before the Lord and crying out to Him to bring that regime down and to bring repentance to the people, to open their eyes to see, who the Lord is.
Right.
But that his judgment would come upon Kim Il-sung. He is a highly demonized individual.
Yes.
His father, Kim Il-sung, is the same way. He was called, he was called the great leader, or the great father, I forget, and his son is called the great leader, I forget. It's a deified kind of thing. You know, I saw a news special on North Korea where this news individual came in as a co-worker for an eye surgeon who went in to, I think, from Asia, some country in Asia, to do eye surgery on the people who were suffering from severe cataract disorders because of their diet.
Right.
Well, she went in as a medical assistant, but she's really a journalist. She was the sister of one of the two girls that just got released from Korea. I can't remember her name. She's a well-known journalist. But she went in, and she filmed a lot of what was taking place in that culture. And many of the buildings that you see, they're just show. There's nothing in them. They're just show case structures.
Right.
But she went in, and they did these surgeries. And after a lot of these people were through the surgery, what they would do, instead of thanking the doctor for coming in, Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-il, he got all the credit. And so they have in the homes of these people, they went into these homes, they have pictures of Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il, the current leader, and they bowed down and gave thanks to him for providing for the cataract surgery.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that shows you how enslaved and how distorted the situation is there.
Well, these people are forced to do that.
Well, this was right in their home.
Yeah.
It was right in their home.
Well, at any moment, a so-called official of this satanic, ill, Kim Il, whatever, can enter your home, and you better have that photo up there. Yeah.
But
it was the same in Nazi Germany with pictures of Hitler.
Yeah, it's the same. Now, one of the things that is unique about this regime in North Korea, if you're caught with a Bible, that is considered subversive and anti- Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
And so if you do have a Bible or you are discovered to be a Christian, what they will do, you will be arrested, and all of your family to the second and the third generation, all those contiguous relationships will be arrested as well.
Yeah.
So the danger is very extreme. One of the things that they would do is they would elicit the children in school. They would give them prizes or rewards. They would play little games, and they would say, if your mom and dad have any books or anything that they consider special, then if you do, then we will. If you share that with us, then you'll get a reward.
Uh-huh.
You'll get food, or you'll get. And so they don't necessarily say a Bible, but they have anything special around the house, then so the kids would, to get rewarded with food or to have a special place of honor in the class. They would tell the officials, we know our mom has, they have this special book they keep in their pillow or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would go and arrest the parents. They would sometimes take the parents right out and hang them in front of the children, or they would never see their parents ever again.
Right.
It's that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think the American people are aware of the gravity of this situation and the need for our prayers for the people of North Korea.
And, you know, God is working there. The church is growing, but it is very secret. When people meet, the Lord just allows them to know if they're believers or not. And there are believers that meet that don't even come out in the daylight.
Yeah.
They have been hidden for extended periods of time. Because they can't even come out. They just live in underground places or wherever they are able to hide.
Yeah.
But one of the most severe stories that I've heard regarding the situation in North Korea is the situation where those that are escaping North Korea to come into China and to find those churches that will support them. And there are a number of house churches there in China that receive and help and support these people, is that the communist government in China has set up front churches. So as a ruse, as a cover, they use the church. So when they come across, they're drawn in, and then they are, of course, arrested and sent back.
Yeah.
And
oh,
one of the
and that's a death sentence right there.
Oh, it is. And they also they have Chinese agents that when the women are coming over, they will offer them promise to offer them help. But then they buy them as concubines, and then they
yeah.
either use them for themselves or sell them. So it is a very desperate situation. And one of the things that is hard for us to understand when it comes to the level of trauma,
yeah.
the entire nation is in a state of maximum PTSD, that is post-traumatic stress disorder,
sure.
because of the level of trauma that they've gone through. They're born into it. Their whole psyche is a traumatized personality.
Yeah.
What happens when people suffer severe and chronic trauma, the brain chemistry changes.
Yes.
So that what therapists call, or clinicians are what they call a trauma brain. The trauma brain is such that the whole way a person thinks is changed by the chemistry of the brain. And so when people leave there, for example, or if they come into China, this is a report of some of the house church leaders who have received these people coming out of North Korea, that when they are there, usually within about a year, something breaks in them. They have a rage. They go into all this tremendous abreactive state before they can even begin to begin to move towards normalcy. But for the first year, it's like they don't even have any emotions. They're just dead. But
right.
then after about a year, something breaks. And he says all of them have to, they all go through this.
Oh, my gosh.
The psychological damage oh. and the spiritual torture they've gone through is no less than what the people experienced in Nazi Germany.
And this at the hands of what the world calls leaders. Oh,
yeah. Well, he's a tyrant, and he's.
He isn't even a tyrant. He's more despicable than that.
He spends about I forget what it is, $400,000 a year on expensive cognac.
Yeah.
He has one of the world's largest collection of videos. He is just, you know, and of course. They've counterfeited U.S. money.
Yes.
Of course, they're involved with drug trade.
Yeah.
They make their weapons available in the black market for cash, and the cash goes to, you know, Kim Jong Il and his regime. None of it goes to the people. If the governments send aid to North Korea, the North Koreans, they don't get it.
Right.
So.
And the U.S. government is very aware of that. I am so sick of these people. You know, the huge tidal wave that hit Indonesia some time ago, Clinton and Poppy Bush went over there pleading on TV for money for the people. Well, guess what? That money did not go to the people.
No.
I think one woman reported she got 11 cents, pennies, 11 pennies as aid. You know, I am so sick of the American people doling out money for these SOBs that get up there and people believe they're, you know... The people that need the help never get it. Never. It's horrific.
That you know, there's a passage in Samuel. This is, of course, following Hannah's God answering her prayer to have to give her a child.
Yes.
She was being, of course, mocked by Panina, because of her child estate.
Yeah.
And, you know, the situation was very humiliating for her. And Elkanah, her husband, loved her in a very special way. But she cried out to the Lord for a child. And finally, when she was willing to dedicate the child to the Lord gave her a request. She wanted a child, but the Lord wanted a man. And so God got his man, and Hannah got her child.
Uh-huh.
And God let her keep him for 3 years, that being Samuel. As a result of God answering her prayer and delivering her from this, you know, the humiliating situation, and Peninnah was mocking her and humiliating her. It's nothing like what these people have gone through. But here's her song to the Lord in 1 Samuel 2. As a result of God answering her prayer, then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart exults in the Lord. My horn, that is my strength, is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." So when it comes to the North Koreans, we need to continue to petition the Lord to reveal his salvation to that nation. Then she says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides thee, nor is there any rock like our God." Well, we ask the Lord to reveal himself in this way to the people of North Korea.
Yes.
Then she goes on to say, "Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed." Well, I would just, in a prayer meeting, I'd say, "Well, Lord, what about this? This is what your word says. When are you going to deal with this regime according to your word?" Then she goes on to say, "The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength." Well, Lord, when will that come to pass in North Korea? Then verse 5, "Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to 7, but she who has many children languishes." In other words, we see in 1 Samuel 2:5 where God reverses things. And so, Lord, when are you going to reverse this situation in North Korea according to your word? Now notice verse 6, "The Lord kills and makes alive.
Yes.
He brings down to Sheol, the grave, and he raises up." We'll hold up to you, Kim Jong-il. My prayer would be, "Repentance or death, Lord." Because it says right here, "The Lord kills and he makes alive." Repentance, that he might be redeemed, or death.
Yes.
Nothing in between, Lord. "The Lord kills, he makes alive, he brings down to Sheol, the grave, raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich.
Yeah.
He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor, the impoverished." And the word poor in the Hebrew is not just financially poor, it's the deprived, it is the afflicted, it is the downcast of society.
Right.
The Lord raises the poor, the afflicted, from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap or the dunghill to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. Well, Lord, is there anyone in North Korea that are in those concentration camps? Over 4 million have starved under that regime. How long is this going to go on? When are you going to act according to your word? "For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones." Well, Lord, how many of your people are in those concentration camps? Do they know this? Are you making this known to them, that you keep the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness?
Right.
"For not by might shall man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered." Well, Lord, what about this leader in North Korea? "Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. He claims to be a god. You struck down Herod, Antipas in Acts chapter 12, because he didn't glorify you. How long, O Lord, will you allow this man to contend with you? For your word says, those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king," referring to ultimately to David, "and he will exalt the horn of his anointed." And that, of course, reaches all the way to the Messiah. So I just want to bring up, you know, passages like that, that we go back to the Word, and we have prayer meetings, we interact with the Lord from His Word, and we appeal to Him on the basis of the Word to act on behalf of the people in North Korea.
Oh, man. Oh. Oh, Douglas. I pray so long and so hard for so many that are suffering at the hands of these rotten, thoroughly rotten governments. I mean, you can't even call them governments. They're... I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, regarding the body of Christ as a functioning, living organism with Christ as the head, he says, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it.
That's right.
If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. So we can't afford to live in an isolated mindset.
Right.
We must be involved. That's why Hebrews 13:3 says, remember those who are imprisoned and who are being afflicted. We're to remember them. And we remember them in our prayers, but we remember them in whatever way God can direct us to support those organizations, and mainly, and I would say those Christian organizations who are dedicated to bring whatever relief that they are able to under the restrictions that exist.
Well, I would certainly add to that, while many so-called Christians are out there spending money on Christmas gifts, to celebrate a holiday that has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ.
No, it's Nimrod's birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would plead with these people that are spending this money to get on their knees and pray for people that are forced to dig up the dead to eat.
That's right. Let me make a practical suggestion, and this is what we have done with our family. We send them all a card, and we have appreciation, and because that's the time we remember the birth of Christ, even though we know it wasn't on that time,
right.
We celebrate His incarnation. But instead of a gift, we just let them know that the money we would have spent for exchanging gifts on Christmas, we have given that money to the suffering church, and we've done that. And we don't send, the kids. We may send something to kids, but to adults, we just tell them we're not going to be exchanging gifts. The money that we would buy for presents, we are giving to the suffering church. So this is a way that you can bear testimony. You can give an example to your children, and there's no loss. You can have a nice meal and celebrate the Lord together. You don't have to be in that traditional, caught up in the commercialism kind of thing. You can redirect those resources to where there are real needs and starving people like you mentioned.
Amen. Amen. And to help those that... It's hard, Douglas, to find a source, a legitimate and godly source to support for the purposes of the people of North Korea. Who do you contact?
Oh, absolutely. You can go to Voice of the Martyrs, VOM, Voice of the Martyrs, and they have a special program just for North Korea.
Okay.
If you want to be involved, you can designate resources. That's what we do. We designate for North Korea. Open Doors USA. That was founded by Brother Andrew. The Voice of the Martyrs was founded by Richard Warmbrandt. Either of those two, you can be assured that what money that you give will go to North Korea. If you want to designate North Korea, you can do that. We support Asia Harvest, which is founded by Paul Hadaway. That's mainly for the suffering churches in the 1040 window.
What's that, the 1040 window?
That would be the 1040, that's the longitude, latitude, 1040. That's the window from China that goes back to Jerusalem. Those Asian countries that,
yes,
that there are over 2 billion people that have never heard the gospel.
Right.
So, but I mean, when it comes to North Korea, you can be assured of this. If you check out the Open Doors website or the Voice of the Martyrs website, they are highly accredited. They have very close accounting, which is posted so that all the monies, there is a complete accountability of where all monies go. And so these are highly reputable and efficient mechanisms to support needs like this in North Korea. And, of course, there are many places where they serve the suffering church.
Yes. Okay. Well, Douglas, thank you so much. I know I kind of sprung this on you at the last moment, but it just, I really wrestled with this, and So everybody out there listening, please pay attention. Please pray for the people of North Korea. Their situation is absolutely deadly right now.
Yes.
It was before, but now it's been ratcheted down to the point where millions of people there will die needless deaths.
Yes. May I recommend also, if people who really would like to have a little orientation of how to pray, if you go to Austin, AUSTIN-sparks.net, and when the page opens up, you'll see books and you'll see articles. Under the articles section in the alphabet, there is an article titled "I Will Overturn." Is one would be good to read. The other is called "The Cry of the Elect," or "The Cry of God's Elect." And these embody the kinds of things we need to be thinking about as we're praying and supporting the imprisoned people of North Korea.
Amen. And let us also not forget Zimbabwe and
yes,
the horrors that are going on there.
That's right.
And Darfur.
Yes.
There are so many places.
And the Christians in Somalia who,
yes,
are being beheaded for their testimony of Jesus. You know, it's just...
And I can't help it, Douglas. It just sets my teeth on edge when all these white Anglo Christians, the when will the tribulation begin? When will it begin? It has begun.
These people are in it right now.
Yeah.
It's not the eschatological day of the Lord, but in terms,
right,
of their experience, they're in it up to their necks, you know.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we need to be in prayer and go about our Father's business and help our brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And prayer is mighty, and it is the weapon that God Almighty gave all of us. So let's use it to help.
Yes.
And with that, Douglas and I are going to move on to another subject here. So I will close out this edition with Douglas Riggs. And please spread this around. Let it go around the world. So God bless everyone that is listening to this audio file with Douglas Riggs. This is George Ann Hughes on The Bite Show. And we will be moving on right now. Good night, everybody.